you're about to hear would be useful as you grow in your love for God and your love for His church. Now, here's today's sermon.
Maybe. There we go. She scared me there. We were singing one of those songs and she leans up. So mean. My water broke. I was like, what? So mean. She just started laughing. I was like, how dare you? I was trying to worship the Lord. She's still up there just laughing so hard. She had a great time doing that. Yeah. Getting me back for the dream that I had and got mad at her this morning. Well, we are wrapping up a series called Church Foundations. We have been going through that. This is, I think, the 9th week of it. Do we have it on the screens? Oh, something's going on. It's okay. You're fine. Okay. Well, we are going to try to make it through it without it. Can we do that? I hope so, because I got a lot of scriptures that we're going to be looking at, but we will make it through, hopefully. Maybe. We'll see. Well, I'm going to need that, so maybe, Sarah, if you could go grab my laptop, too, just to make sure. But we're going to go through without it for right now. We are wrapping up our series, Church Foundations, tonight, and it has been, at least I have found this to be such a powerful time just going through God's Word with you and looking at what it means to be a biblical church. I don't think it's necessary for the last week to go through kind of what we've been doing, looking at what makes a biblical church, right? Being internally healthy and externally missional. The last night, and I don't know if you have your handout or not with the graph poured out, but there are four elements that make a missional church, an externally missional church. And then there's also four elements that make a internally healthy church. And we have been walking through what makes an internally healthy church. And the last pillar is the one that we're looking at tonight. That is being a church that is committed to discipling and serving. Sarah, actually, I'll take that up here. Gracias. So we are going to be looking at serving and discipling as a core element to what makes a biblical church. Can we all give it up for Sarah, please? Thank you so much. You are incredible. That is very helpful. Sometimes I lean on these PowerPoints, so. And I think, let me elaborate just briefly on what I mean by serving and discipleship. What do I mean? Well, I'd say generally, by serving and discipleship, I mean active involvement. That's what we need as a church. To be a biblical church, we need active involvement, and active involvement demonstrated in these different ways. Man, I hear ringing too. Is that just me? Do you hear a lot of feedback? Could we kill one of these? Thank you. But think with me here. Don't be too distracted. Pay attention with me. Is active involvement really necessary? Is it really necessary for a biblical church? I think we have to think about that and honestly consider it. Is it necessary to have active involvement? Well, just practically speaking, let's think practically, is active involvement necessary? We can have all the other pillars, right? We can have leadership put in place that is healthy. We can have membership and the parameters of what makes a member, we can have that. And we can have the weekly gathering, and we can have all the missional things, being a missional people. Yet still, even with all that, the leadership and the membership qualifications and all that, we can have all of it, being evangelistic, and yet miss something critical, the care of the body. Right, the body can go out and be missional and care for others, and we can have the weekly gathering, and that in some senses really cares for the body and builds us up. You can have the leaders and you can have the membership, but you're missing the week in and week out caring for and tending to one another. That's a critical element to the church. Serving and discipleship, active involvement really as a whole is not a core value of our church, then really there's two possible outcomes for that. Oh, amen. Awesome. Thank you. There's really two possible outcomes if active involvement isn't a primary element or a core value of our church. Firstly, things just wouldn't get done, right? If active involvement wasn't a part of our church, it wasn't core value, then things just wouldn't get done, right? Bible studies wouldn't be led, the bus wouldn't be driven. If serving wasn't a root core value, either things won't get done, and therefore the body will suffer for it, or they will get done, and the very few that are doing them will get burnt out. In either situation, things not getting done and the body suffering, or the few doing everything and then them suffering, either situation, it's an unhealthy, unbiblical church. But we're not doing things because it's practical, right? Practicality isn't our guide or our authority. What works isn't really what guides us. The Bible is, right? And so we talked about practice, and practice really show we need a serving church, or else the church is going to suffer, or the few will suffer. So practicality shows us we need a serving church, but more than practice, Scripture shows us that we need a serving church. Look with me at a few passages. Galatians chapter 5 and Galatians chapter 6. These are two one another passages, so to speak, and I don't know if we'll have them on the screen, but I'll read them to you. Notice the few one another's. In Galatians 5:13, it says, "Do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another." Serve one another. That's what we're called to do in Scripture, is to serve one another. Galatians 6:2, he also says, "Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." And so notice what Scripture is calling us to do. Scripture is calling us to be actively involved in the needs of one another. We can keep going. Ephesians chapter 5 says, "Submit yourselves to one another out of reverence for Christ." Are you starting to see here? Scripture is calling us. Not just practices are not just calling us to be involved in the active work of the church, but Scripture is calling us to. Ephesians 5, submit one another to each other out of reverence for Christ. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. "Do nothing from selfish ambitions or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself." Scripture is calling us to be actively involved in caring for the needs of one another. I'll give you two more. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9, "Show hospitality to one another." And notice, this text is written to Christians saying, be hospitable to one another. Host one another, care for one another. John 13:14, "If I, your Lord and teacher," this is Jesus talking, "if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." And so all these texts, we can just keep going with all the one another's that we are called to do and we're charged to do from Scripture. But I think we get enough of a picture, not only that practices tell us we better have an actively involved church, but also Scripture tells us to be actively involved and not just be consumers of the leadership serving the church, but also the church serving one another, right? Scripture and practice tell us this is vital. It's not only practically necessary, but it's scripturally mandated for us to have actively involved church members in both serving and discipling one another. I think those are two great ways that we can be actively involved. And so, for our time together, I want us to see how active involvement should be worked out in our lives as a church, okay? Active involvement should include, or should mean, everyone is serving in the church. If you're a part of this church, I would say Scripture is calling you to serve the church. I think about how critical this is. I have a dear friend, now lives in Texas, and he was going to church with me for a number of years, and I think about the harm that it does to the church and to the individuals that are serving in the church when the few are doing much of the work. Right? I think about the pain that it does to some of those few that are serving. And this was, he was really, to be honest, taken advantage of, and he was used so much, and he was just working so hard and using, and he was so talented. This man that I'm thinking of now lives in Texas. He is one of the most musically talented individuals I have ever met in my life. I mean, he can just pick up a guitar and just finger pick and just play these beautiful melodies. And he can sing, and the church used him. And it was he was such a blessing to the church. But when he moved, I sat down and before he moved to Texas, and I sat down and I wanted to talk to him about what church are you going to? Is it a good biblical church? What, you know? And we just started talking about different things. And I said, "What are you going to do? Are you going to serve with the band?" And his answer, though it made sense, broke my heart. He said, "No, I'm done playing music for the church. I'm burnt out. I'm exhausted. I'm worn out, and it's just no longer worship for me." And now, that broke my heart, and I wanted to kind of push against that and say, "No, please don't give up. You are such a blessing to the church." But you know what? Part of me also sympathized, and I said, "It breaks my heart that you would say that, but you're not crazy. I understand where you're coming from. I understand it." Active involvement, Scripture calls every member of the church to do, and one of those ways is to serve in the church. I want to look at two scriptures with us when it comes to serving. Firstly, I want us to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 4. Let me read through it, and I want to highlight a few things, but first let's read through it. This is what it says, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4, and I think it's on the screen. "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are a variety of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." A couple things I want us to highlight in this. Firstly, there are many gifts that can bless the church. If we look at that again, it says, "Now there are a variety of gifts, and there are a variety of services, there are a variety of activities. There is much to be done," amen? There is so much to be done. I mean, I could just start listing them, but it would take forever, all the way down to the nitty-gritty things that you might think might not be all that critical, but whenever you start taking them away, it takes a toll on everyone else trying to pick up the pieces. All these roles, small and big, spotlight or behind the scenes, they are all critical for the functions of the church. There are a variety of gifts, needs, activities, services. And secondly, all the giftings that there are, and there's many, all of them come from God. We see that in this text. There are a variety of gifts, but what? The same Spirit. There are a variety of services, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it's the same God. That's what we can see. Not only is there a variety of gifts, there's many gifts, but there's also a God that gives all of those gifts, who empowers all of us with gifts. And thirdly, that's the thing I want us to really notice here. There's a lot of gifts, that God is the giver of all of them, and thirdly, all of us have those gifts. You see that there in the end of verse 6? Who empowers them all in who? In everyone. And then verse 7, to who? Not the few, but each. Each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So there are many gifts, all given from God, and all of us have been given gifts. And so then therefore, none of us can say, "I just have nothing to offer." You don't have that excuse. I don't have that excuse. No one in the body has that excuse to say, "There's nothing special about me." No, that's an offense unto God and His blessings in your life to say there's nothing special for you. No, there is a lot that you have to offer the church. No one is able to say, "I have nothing to give." Do not diminish what God has done for you in your life. Please hear this. Don't diminish what God has done in your life and what He has given you by saying that you have nothing to offer, because it's an offense to what God has given you to offer. So what are we to do with these gifts? Obviously, there's a variety of gifts. God gives everybody these gifts, and so what are we to do with these gifts? Well, that's the second passage I want us to look at briefly. 1 Peter chapter 4. Let me read through it. As each received a gift. Okay, so again, that's pulling from 1 Corinthians 12. Everyone has received a gift. Use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus. So notice what verse 10 says here. Because everyone has been given a gift, what are we to do with that gift? We are to use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. And the grace would be the gift that he has chosen to give you. It is grace that you are gifted, and you are gifted. So having a gift requires us to use that gift to serve God's church. And then I would say, also, verse 10 then entails that not doing so, not using your gift that God has given you to bless the church with, not using that would mean that you are a bad steward. Would be bad stewards of that gift. Use it to serve one another as what? Good stewards. So using the gifts that God has given you makes you a good steward of that grace. Not using it would make us bad stewards of what God has given us. So we are to use our gifts for the blessing of the church. And verse 11 really gives us some tips on how to use that gift well. Firstly, verse 11 says, or shows us, to know the privilege that it is to represent God to his people. Whoever speaks is one who speaks oracles of God. If you are blessed, like I am, to speak, would I count that as a blessing and grace on my life? Count it as a great weighty privilege to speak God's word to you, and I think it's also true for you. As you would be a greeter at the door, welcoming somebody in, count it as a privilege that you could be a smiling face representing God's church to that person walking in that door. It is a privilege to use the gifts that God has given us. As somebody that would make a meal for a family that is grieving the loss of a loved one, and they have a funeral, and we are able to gift them with a meal, count that as a privilege to use your skills and the gifts that God has given you to bless them and be, in some senses, the hands and feet of Jesus of loving them. Whoever speaks, or you could say, whoever serves, is one who speaks oracles of God, of representing God in some sense, in some capacity, and count it as a privilege. That's a blessing. Secondly, he says in verse 11, not only count it as a privilege when you are representing God, but also know that you're strengthened by him when you use your gift. I think we really need to hear that, because oftentimes we are reluctant to use our gifts because we are so scared and worried about doing it. But he says, when you serve, whoever serves, serve by the strength that God has supplied you, not by your own strength, not by your own ability. And thank you, Jesus, that he supplies me with strength. Because sometimes, guys, I tell you what, I don't think I have it in me to stand up here and preach the word. But God has strengthened me, and I think that's not only true for me, but it is true for you. Use your gift, and don't use your concerns or your being self-conscious about yourself and your own abilities and your own strength. Don't let that be a hindrance for you using your gift or not. God has gifted you an ability or a skill set. Use it to bless the church and trust in God to be your strength as you do it. If you're nervous, if you're self-conscious, if you're shy or you're unsure, unsteady, maybe you're comparing yourself with others, I want to encourage you, read that verse in 1 Peter, verse 11, where he says, God is your strength as you use your gifts. So I want to talk briefly what would serving look like here at IBC, because I want everyone who is a member here to serve in some capacity. And so if you don't currently have a place to serve, I want to encourage you. I'm talking to you. I want you to find a place to serve. And I don't think that's too pointed. I think it's speaking from Scripture. So what does it look like? Well, this is kind of part of the process. If you notice here, maybe you've seen these next steps. Maybe I've thrown it in your face too much. But this is kind of the process of, one, becoming a member. We've walked through it before. Become a regular attender. Then you attend a membership class, membership application, meet with the pastor, baptized, become a member. And then after you become a member, if you notice the very next step, get involved. And so this entails a few things. you have to be a member to be a representative of the church here to serve in any capacity. And I think that is to hold a high regard in any of the serving capacities, right? To say this individual represents Emmanuel Baptist Church and who we are to the community. If anyone, if they walk in the door and they meet that person, whether it be a greeter or a nursery worker, that person's to be a member because they are representing us as a church. As a church. And so it must be a member. But once you're a member, I want all members involved. It's the last step of the next steps process to be involved. And there's many opportunities. Greeting, nursery workers, preschool, children's, youth, music, media and tech, the kitchen, bus drivers. I know the bus drivers would be so blessed to hear there's a few more. There's so many things. I could keep rattling them off, but there are many opportunities. I want to address, though, maybe a few hesitations you might have. Maybe you are caught up from serving on because of a few things. Maybe you are shy to reach out and pursue serving. I thought it was so amazing. I don't remember when it was, but Becky came in, Becky Turley, and she just knocked on the door. It was just throughout the week. And I was working in the office. She just came, knocked on the door, and I said, "Hey, how's it going, Becky? What are you doing?" And she just said, "Well, I came by because I wanted to see how can I serve. I hate just sitting in the pew and not serving, and so how could I help out?" I said, "Well, I don't know off the top of my head." And she started suggesting things. And it wasn't like some grand, amazing thing, saying, "Well, let me pick up a guitar and be the main show." No, she was saying, "Well, I mean, what if I just, could I just sharpen pencils and make sure the pew pencils are sharpened?" I mean, talk about a servant's heart. She said, "I mean, honestly, it could be that," or I wrote a few other things. She said, "Well, I mean, what if the books need to be, just make sure that they are lined up well in the library?" And I said, "God bless you, Becky. That just shows a servant heart saying, I want to serve the church, and it doesn't matter in what capacity. I'm not looking for an applause. I'm not looking for an audience. I want to serve as people." And so if you are shy and you are nervous, reluctant, I just want to encourage you, may you just be encouraged by Becky's example to pursue it, to seek it out and say, "Look, I'm not looking for a platform here. I'm just looking to help in any way." I'd encourage you to, if you are shy about it, come and just talk to me. We can find a place. There's always something that you can do. I know there's other hesitations of maybe being intimidated by the people that are currently serving in areas that you might feel led to serve. I remember the church that we came from, there was the youth worship band made up of two people whenever we first got there, brothers. And these guys could legitimately be famous. I actually mean that. I mean, these guys were incredible, incredible musicians. They could pick up any instrument and start playing it. They played in Sarah and I's wedding. It was just, they're just so talented. And because they were so talented, everyone else was nervous and intimidated to ever become a part of the band. We'd try to recruit, and people would say, "No, I don't. That's not for me." Well, you can only guess what happens when these guys moved. We didn't have a band because we weren't bringing people up and teaching people and discipling people in that area. So whenever these guys just said, "Hey, we're moving next week," we had no band. But after some time, and that intimidation factor was no longer a part of it, we ended up growing a band of over 10 people, and as they started to get to know and how to work well with one another, we had an incredible band when the intimidation factor wasn't there, and they all started stepping up, and they started working together, give it a year, and they were great. I want to encourage you, look past that intimidation and say, "You know what? God is my strength, and I can do it. I can do it." Probably the biggest hesitation that people have, maybe you have, in not wanting to serve and get involved is thinking that everything is taken care of. Thinking that there's nowhere for you to serve because everything is obviously functioning fine. Just because we are functioning, I'll tell you, doesn't mean that we're functioning the best that we can. Functioning the best we can means you all are involved as well. Everyone is involved. That would be the best. The reality is that currently we need still 5 to 10, and I'll just give the pitch because it's just true. We need still 5 to 10 nursery workers. If you've noticed, we've seen a lot of kids coming in, and that's been such a blessing, but now there's such a need with that. And we are kind of overwhelmed with needing workers. And so we need still 5 to 10 nursery workers, pre-K volunteers. We're working on getting a visitor check-in table for visitors to come and learn about the church, and we're going to need people to man that. There are always places to serve, and I encourage you to, as best you can, overcome those hesitations and make us healthier because you're involved. Make us healthier because you are involved. That would make us that much more of a healthy church. Serving is only one of the areas, and I've really spent a lot of time on it, but we can also have an actively involved church by discipleship. Discipleship. Active involvement in our church must include discipleship. And what I mean by discipleship is relational investment, that you would relationally invest in other people's lives and speak into their lives. And this should be infused into all relationships that you have. I encourage you, don't waste your influence. You have influence in people's lives. Don't waste the influence. I want to look at a few texts of different areas where you could invest in someone's life and disciple them. Firstly, the closest sphere of your life, those that are closest to you in the household. Parents, you are to invest in your children. Ephesians 6 says this. Fathers, and I think this is also speaking to mothers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Disciple your children. And so whatever that looks like for you, I know different households look different ways, but I encourage you, don't waste your influence. Invest in your family by discipling them. Parents are the number one spiritual leader in any children's life. It is not the pastor. Don't be fooled to think that that's my job. That is your job as a parent. Secondly, though, we can broaden out from the closest sphere of those around us, but also close friends in the same gender is a critical area of your life to disciple and be discipled. Titus chapter 2 says, older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to too much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children. And I think this is also true for men. Older men, would you pour into the younger men? And with the growing number of children, let me just say, there's a growing number of men that need discipled, young women that need discipled, young parents that need to learn how to parent. And so I want to encourage you, don't waste the opportunity. Invest in these young couples that are coming in. Find people to disciple. And a great way to disciple the people of the same gender, it's through our Bible studies, Monday and Tuesday night. Be a part of that. Be a part of that. Because these are areas where we talk about things that you can't really talk about in mixed company of multiple, in both men and women getting together. Talking about marital strife or sexual temptation. Those things should be talked about. Gender-specific questions, even regarding anatomy and emotions and all these different things. I mean, these are things that we shouldn't, as a church, be shy about. Let's talk about them and let's disciple one another in what we know. And yes, I said disciple one another in even questions about anatomy. Believe it or not, biology. Let's not make that too taboo and not talk about it. Let's disciple. Thirdly, we can broaden out even more and disciple the people that are not the same gender, but also in the body of Christ with us. Brothers can disciple sisters in Christ, and sisters in Christ can disciple brothers in Christ. We can see that in Acts chapter 18. I love this. Now a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was an eloquent man, competent in the scriptures, and he had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and he taught accurately. This is really important. He taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, though he knew only the baptism of John. We keep going. It says he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila, this is a married couple, heard him, they together took him aside and explained to him the ways of God more accurately. That's a man teaching the word of God, being discipled by a man and a woman coming together and saying, yes, you are teaching right. Can we keep discipling you? Would we see to it that you keep growing in your teaching abilities? So would we do that? Discipleship is critical, guys, for church growth. It's critical for multiple things. Firstly, for church growth. You can have flashy lights or the best theology preached every Sunday. You can have a great band. You can have all those things. But if no one is personally invested in, if a visitor isn't personally invested in, they will not stay. You can have the best preacher, the best band. You can have all the flashy lights. You can have the best facilities, the best looking building. But if somebody comes and they don't feel personally invested in, they will eventually leave. If you want to see church growth, discipleship is critical, because church is a family, not just an event. And so while we see, I just want to make this real for us. Think about this. I'm almost done. Church growth is exciting. And we're seeing that right now. That is exciting. But I also want us to be hit with the reality that if we waste the opportunity and just say, praise God, people are here on Sundays, and we forget to disciple them, I'd say plan on that being short-lived. Can I just say that? Discipleship is critical for church growth and sustained church growth. Praise God we have new couples in here. May we see to it that we do our best that they stay. Discipleship is critical for church growth, and it's critical for church health, to be a New Testament church. I love what Mike Breen says. He's blunt. That's why I like it. He says, are we just good at getting people together once a week and maybe into a small group? Or are we actually good at producing the type of people that we read about in the New Testament? That's a good question to ask. Have we shifted our criteria for a good disciple to just be someone who shows up to our stuff, gives none, and occasionally feeds poor people? Have we changed the criteria of what it means to be a disciple? Someone that just shows up, gives none, occasionally comes to our events and helps out? Or are they people that look like they would be in the New Testament church? Discipleship is critical for church growth and sustained church growth, and it's critical for being a healthy church, making legitimate disciples of Christ. So I want to close just with putting this image in your mind. We are a family. The body of Christ is a family. We are called brothers and sisters, children of God. He is our Father. We're a family. Family, and in families, everyone serves, right? Everyone's got a part. Kids have got the chores. Someone's setting the table. Someone's making the meal. Someone's cleaning it up after. Everyone's involved. Someone is always doing something. Everyone serves in some capacity. And everyone invests in one another because we care about one another. I think that's true for us. May that be the testament of this church here at Emmanuel Baptist Church. Amen? Would we be actively involved? Would we disciple one another? And would we serve one another? Let's be an actively involved church as we keep seeing God bless us. Let's pray. God, I thank you for tonight. And I thank you, God, for just community, that I could be with your people, that they could be with me, that we could soak up your presence and hear your word, God. Would you put that deep in our hearts tonight, Lord, that we would feel led to maybe get involved or more than we already are, possibly? Maybe you would stir in our hearts the conviction to go find somebody younger and to invest in them, to sit down and have coffee with them once a week, or to be at the Bible study this week and invest in the people that you have given us in our lives. Would you challenge us in that way and guide us, Lord, and most importantly, strengthen us as we do it obediently. We thank you for it, Lord. Would you be exalted in all that we do as a church? In your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's sermon. If you live in or near Bethany, Missouri, we invite you to join us for our worship services held on Sunday morning and Sunday evenings, as well as our various activities on Wednesday nights. For more information on how you can get involved, visit our website at bethanyibc.com.